Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm fucking Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, rational human being.
That opening bit I do gets funner and funner, especially when I have a cold.
And I never even, somehow, despite all these times we've done this, I've never decided to really put the effort in ahead of time to think about what it is I'm going to say.
Doesn't matter. You don't need to.
I know.
I mean, my one sucks. Your one's probably better every week. My one I only like because of repetition.
I think I did the same one last week or something very similar.
Something pretty similar.
It's terrible.
Rational human, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's the normal thing. Yeah, golly, big week. How's your week been?
Yeah, biggish. Medium to medium large.
Seems like exciting times for your eldest son.
Yes, he featured on a popular, well, featured. He was an extra on a highly popular New Zealand television show.
Did you put a credit on it that said special guest starring?
I did not.
I guess people have to actually negotiate that kind of credit. Do you even get that in New Zealand? You don't really get that in New Zealand, do you?
Maybe. On some shows, maybe.
It's kind of more of a Morgan Fairchild appearing on some shitty soap thing. Special guest starring this fucking hack actress who used to be C-list.
Yeah, we don't have, like, that stuff would probably be all SAG stuff in the States, and we don't really have kind of that sort of actors union, or at least not as influentially.
No, our one's run out of Australia anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, and is a bit odd.
Yeah, which is shameful, actually. Well, let's be honest, it's shameful. It's weird. It's a bizarre thing. The whole organization.
But I mean, the whole industry in New Zealand is very different. We don't, like, the actors union. If, you know, they don't do the same things in New Zealand that they would do overseas, because the industry is structured completely differently.
So I've got 27 stories, and we should probably delete some of them. You could probably just tell me the ones that you think I shouldn't do.
Do you know? So you sent me a list of all your stories, and I've got them all open in my browser, and all I can see is fave icons. So
yeah.
I don't know, maybe like the first, 7th, 23rd, and 14th big boing boing story? I have no idea.
The first story is online GST, the 7th.
Okay, let's go, here we go. I'm just going to say, I'll give you a preview of what might be coming up when I read out the fave icons in order.
Yeah.
We've got 3 News, Verge, Herald, 3 News, Boing Boing, Stuff, Boing Boing, Boing Boing. I don't know what this one is.
Futurity.
All right, boing boing, /dot/dot, Verge, /dot, 3 News, just a blank document icon, it's Kiwi Blog. What's that, Upworthy maybe? No, Uproxx. Don't know what that one is.
Film Drunk.
That one is. Don't know what Thomas that one Robert. Is. Vanity Fair, yeah. Verge, 3 News, Stuff, 3 News, boing boing, boing boing, boing boing. So there you go.
You're not meant to give away that so many are boing boing, because often I click through for the show notes to the actual story, but I mean, you know, I just...
I just 7 boing boings,
yeah.
4 3 newses, 2 stuffs,
yeah.
3 verges,
yeah.
3 slash dots.
But you know the thing I'm most embarrassed about?
The Kiwi blog.
That's right.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm very... I apologize in advance. My mother will be extremely disappointed. My mother this week said that she wanted to get an iPad. Well, I mean, she didn't know it was an iPad that she wanted, but that's what she...
She wanted a tablet, or she...
Yeah, she wants a new TV and she wants a tablet. And we happened to have a couple of iPads out at the time, so I'm assuming she wanted the same sort. She wants a mini.
Yeah, the mini's a really good size, actually.
Yeah.
I always found that the full-size iPad was just a wee bit big for a lot of what I wanted to do on it.
Yeah.
But maybe a bit small for other things. I don't know. I wouldn't want to type on it much. I've seen people typing on it a lot, and I wouldn't want to do that. So a mini works for me.
Yeah.
Well, would work for me if I gave mini dams. That said, I had that the Galaxy Note 10.1 for a while.
Yeah.
That I was playing with. And I really like it. It was the same size as an iPad, but I actually liked that more than the iPad. But it might just be my preference for UI.
10 point whatever inches. It does seem like a funny size, doesn't it? The thing that bothers me most about the... I have a full-size iPad, but the girl has a mini. The thing I dislike most actually is the fact that it's aluminium, so it gets bloody cold.
It really does.
And given that, you know, the way I mean, I use it a lot just for, you know, web browsing on the sofa and so on, you know, the sort of...
Oh, you're saying when you've got your pants around your ankles?
No.
Oh, okay. Because that's a cold shock, I tell you.
That is what I'm roughly heading towards, but not that. Watching TV and movies in bed, of course, I rest it on my chest. Mm. And so being a very, very cold, you know, basically like a heat sink.
But it's aluminium, so it'll just, you know, it'll warm up.
I mean, it'll heat up, but to begin with, it won't be warm.
Well, what you should do is you should get a hot water bottle, right? And then when you just as you're getting ready to get in bed, you know, when you off to brush your teeth or whatever, just lay the iPad down on the hot water bottle. And then when you come back, it'll all be fine.
A hot water bottle, as if we live in Wellington or something.
Oh, come on. You can get a hot water bottle.
I mean, I guess I could probably get one shipped up from down south somewhere.
Pretty sure you can buy one.
I expect you probably can. I used to have a hot water bottle when I was little. There's something about the smell of a hot water bottle, probably because, I mean, you're not meant to put boiling water in them, but people do, right?
Yeah, I mean, my kids have smell, hot water bottles lovely. Sometimes, and I always, you know, I put some cold water in and then I top it up with boiling water, because frankly, it's too, you know, water from the hot tap's not hot enough.
Yeah.
And it's practically impossible to, you know, reliably heat water to any degree.
Yeah.
Beyond that,
do you then wrap it in a towel, or do you just put it in like that?
No, I just attach it to their bare flesh, and if it sizzles, then it's a little bit too hot.
Yeah, we just lost 40% of our listeners while we were talking about hotties.
No, I don't think so. People tune into Discourse for hotties.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm watching the numbers.
Oh, okay.
There is something about the smell though of a hottie, right? There's that hot rubber smell.
Yeah.
I bet that is responsible for a lot of perversion in later life. And amongst a certain sector of society.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What do you think? Because there are men who, and I don't know, maybe there are women as well, but there are definitely men who like rubber, and they like it kind of too much.
No, I'm just going to have to find a video I saw today.
Oh,
because
God.
I was watching it with some co-workers, and I said upon watching it, it's a music video, and I said upon watching it, somewhere out there, there are people who fetishize this.
Yeah.
And then I decided that whoever those people were, they almost certainly have a subreddit just for them.
Is it Rule 34? No, that's porn.
Yeah, there's definitely Rule 34 subreddits.
And there's another rule. I've noticed a rule for like cross-play people being, you know, like sexy superheroes but opposite gendered from, you know, the way they are in comic books. That's a different rule, isn't it? That's like Rule 86 or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna come clean on this. I'm not completely up to date with what's what.
So this link that you've just posted, is that actually safe for people to look at?
Yeah, it's not pornographic. It's a music video. It's just you watch it and you go, what the shit?
Yeah. Rule 63. Hey, look, this is what we can do. It's been a long time.
Urban Dictionary word of the week.
Rule 63.
Oh, okay, that's the rule that says you mustn't park your car in the opposite direction to the flow of traffic.
We've got a winner.
Rule 63 is a rule of the internet that reads as follows. For any given male character, there is a female version of that character. This rule's exceptions are only in the instance that A, the male character is already so androgynous that a female version would be basically the same, or B, the female version hasn't been drawn yet. That's... not really.
I don't know what this is about. Speaking of characters, though, that something.
Yeah.
Have you seen the trailer for? Oh, I've just forgotten the name of the movie.
Sharknado.
What? No, not Sharknado. We'll get to that.
All right.
No, essentially though, the movie is Men in Black, but with
aliens. it's the Ghost Police Squad. Yeah, I saw that a long time ago. I think I might have even put it on Spoiler Massacre.
I can't think what the name of the movie is.
Oh, it's COPD. It's the...
It's RIPD.
The... Something...
No, it's RIPD. Rest in Peace.
Rest in Peace Division, that's it. Yep.
Oh my God, I have never seen... I don't think I've ever seen a movie that is so blatantly just a reversioned sort of screenplay from another film.
It is actually quite sickening, isn't it?
It's you could see it like almost the mannerisms and characters and things are almost the same. Anyway,
yeah, I put RIPD on Spoiler Massacre on April 19th.
Oh, you're so
by advanced. I mean who actually? No, it's got my name right on it. There's no deniability at all. Spoiler Massacre. There you go. It's the site.
Good stuff.
Site that no one reads at all and no one follows on Twitter. And I don't know why I bother. And that's why I do it once a month. So my comment on Spoiler Massacre was, so yes, RAP does look like an absolutely merciless ripoff of Men in Black, but it also looks really fun.
Yeah, it's not to say it can't be both. So should we start with some of these many, many tabs of stories that you've foisted upon us?
And now the news.
Online buyers may get GST hit.
Yeah, so in theory you're supposed to pay GST on stuff anyway, but in practice they don't enforce it beyond a certain limit. And now correct. They say maybe they should, but...
That's not correct.
But whatever.
That's not correct.
I don't know how.
No, that's not correct.
That is correct.
Your summary is complete fabrication.
No, it's not. It's an exactly accurate summary.
It's entirely false. You do, in fact, pay GST on online purchases, but there is a threshold of $400, and it's not...
Yeah, but that's not a threshold for like where it's legally required. That's a threshold for where they bother to collect.
Yes, but it's not an accident. It's not like they can't be bothered.
Well...
Which was how you described it.
Okay, partly it's they can't be bothered, and partly it's practically difficult.
And it's not worth doing because the money that they'd be collecting...
The cost of collection doesn't cover, or the funds collected don't cover the cost of collection.
Exactly. And so some local retailers have decided that the reason that people buy stuff online is because they don't have to pay GST. And those retailers reckon that that is some kind of unfair competition. The reality, though, I think, is that people don't buy from New Zealand retailers. People do buy from New Zealand retailers, of course, me as well. But one of the reasons people don't buy from New Zealand retailers is, number one, they are price gouging assholes. So price is a factor, but it's not just the GST. It's a far bigger difference than that.
You start going same for same and comparing sales taxes, you know, the differences are not as stark as they sometimes seem, because depending on where you order from, although if you use U-Shop? If you use U-Shop, they're based in Oregon. And Oregon has no sales tax. So if you order online and have it delivered to Oregon, you don't usually pay sales tax.
U-Shop has two benefits, actually, because as well as that, because most US retailers don't charge any shipping to a US address, that price is not tacked on the top of what you purchase.
Yes.
And so you can get a more expensive item without hitting the threshold, because then when you pay U-Shop, you pay that including GST.
What?
Yes.
So you pay the shipping including GST, you mean?
Exactly.
Right.
Which actually does make quite a big difference.
Mm-hmm. There is
Last time I bought a GoPro, it was free. I could have had it shipped to New Zealand, but they were going to charge like $70. And as well as that, it would have put the GoPro over the threshold. So it would have actually been like, friggin' hell, like another $200 more. You know, including that shipping. But by doing it via U-Shop, it was like $30, and it stayed under the GST threshold. Yay, hooray, thank you.
Good.
I dispute your claim that that if you include sales taxes and so on, that it actually returns to parity. That's definitely true of some things.
I didn't say it returns to parity, it just becomes less stark. Sometimes, I mean, because often you go and you just immediately look at, you know, the online price, and you go, oh, well, that's... But, you know, the sales tax thing in the States, like, prices here are almost always quoted, including GST. Prices in the States, even in states that have sales tax, are never quoted with sales tax.
Which is such a consumer-hostile practice.
It is ridiculous to compute. Go and buy a Coke, and you're like, oh, okay, it's $1.69, all right, fine, I'll get, you know, $1.70 coins, and you get to the thing, and it's like, oh, that'll be $1.94. Fuck.
What are you talking about? It says $1.69 right there. Yes, I'm very glad that... And you'll recall that... Well, actually, you might be just young enough that you don't remember that when GST came in, kind of retailers were a little bit confused for a little while. And particularly some items that... because GST doesn't apply... Well, I mean, companies get their GST back. So a lot of stuff that is targeted at companies for purchasing, like, you know... computer equipment, say.
Yeah.
That was often quoted GST exclusive, even in places that were clearly, you know, private customer focused. So like Noel Lemmings would have, you know, plus GST prices, which was pretty hostile. But that seems to have gone...
Yeah, there are a few places by the way, plus GST prices, like...
little computer stores still do it.
No, even they don't do it. Like, PB Tech used to for a while, but they don't now. Now they quote their cash price, they don't quote their... Well, they also have on the sign, I think they also quote their, you know, their credit card price.
Well, that's fair enough, because, you know, the percentage that a credit card will charge to some of those small computer retailers is actually probably more than their margins.
Oh, I'm not in many cases. I'm 15 not minutes. Disputing it. I'm just they used to quote exclusive of GST prices. I think.
Yeah.
Maybe they still do. Who can tell?
Anyway, I think that this claim by these New Zealand retailers is bullshit. Fuck them.
Well, of course it is. And this is the Australians have gone through similar things. Where who was it? One of them, one of either Harvey or Norman, whichever one half of that outfit was made a big stink about online sales and how it attracts bricks and how it attacks bricks and mortar shops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, some of the biggest competition for some of these companies. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't buy, a refrigerator from an international provider.
There's a sort of an interesting niche of what works and what doesn't internationally. Books and CDs and small things like that are easy to ship and often are a lot cheaper overseas.
Yeah,
are
especially
sensible.
With free shipping. Yeah.
Things like even like T-shirts, right? So, like you can get this, you can buy T-shirts between $5 and $10 pretty easily online, or a little bit higher than that. But often the shipping on those is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So there's those, and obviously you don't want to ship anything real big. And then there's all the things that often can't be shipped to New Zealand, and you can use something like UShop. But even then, sometimes the practicality of the thing. It must be really interesting to sort of get a wide scale look at actually what people do buy online.
Like a mast for a wind sailor.
A wind sailor?
A wind surfer, that's what they're called. A board sailer? I don't even know what those
board,
things are called.
Board surf.
What are those things?
Wind mast.
Yeah, those things. I expect their masts actually are probably collapsible to some extent, but I expect that they're still very long objects. So I bet the volumetric equation on those, I mean, some beautiful carbon fiber pipe, I bet that's pretty insane.
Yeah.
So, the local board surfy, saily, yachty place, I bet they're still just doing fine, thank you very much. And so I think that retailers who cry about online stuff, they just don't know how to compete. There are New Zealand online retailers who have to charge GST, and they appear to be making a killing. People like One Day and Mighty Ape and so on, who have grown out of nothing, and they certainly charge GST.
Yeah,
and in fact, their prices sometimes aren't even that great, compared to other conventional stores. They've just figured out how to market themselves.
New Zealand retailers were complaining about recently with a price comparison websites, Price Me and Price Buy.
Yeah, I don't know. What were they complaining about?
They were complaining that it makes it difficult for them to do business because their business model relies on people not knowing that other people sell it cheaper.
Too bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's unfortunate. I get it. They're in sort of a difficult place. Their business model is the way it is, but you can't artificially restrict the world around you to conform to what you want.
Yeah,
it strikes me though that still, like, if anything, in the last, say, let's say 10 years, completely arbitrarily, I think customer service in retail stores has often got worse.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's the difference, The difference is customer service. You don't get customer service in an online store.
Yeah.
You don't interact with people. You can't ask them questions. They can't help you with things.
And you can look up reviews and so on so easily.
Oh, yeah, sure. But if you go into an actual store, you think the difference there is people, right?
Yeah.
And so if the people were good, they can kind of make up the difference.
Who wants to work in a store?
Well, apparently the people who do have no desire to actually sell anything, because the number of times you go into a store now and no one even acknowledges you're there. They just continue, there's like three staff members standing by the counter just continuing their conversation about how drunk they got on the weekend.
Probably because they know you're not going to buy anything. You're just there to see what it looks like in person before you order it online.
Exactly right. No, I've done it a number of times. I've been into stores.
What's it called? Showrooming?
And just gone, fuck this. I was vaguely interested in buying something and you're just not interested in talking to me, so I'm leaving now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be you went into a store, the salespeople were like right on you and kind of annoyingly so. Now it's flipped completely the other way.
Yeah.
You stand there, like you could just about have your wallet in your hand and cash out going, anyone? Anyone? Nope.
Yeah.
Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Your word, Dylan, is showrooming.
Okay, well, we just discussed this. That's showrooming.
I've made this game a lot easier than it used to be.
Yeah, no, that's the showrooming is when you, in the morning when you just come out of the shower, You walk into your lounge and open the curtains and wander around ostensibly looking for something to wear, and your towel slips off.
Don't spoil this for me. Okay. The act of... let's see.
I was close.
The act of going to retail stores like Best Buy and Walmart to check out certain products, and then once satisfied with the look and feel, purchasing the item online on Amazon or other retailers.
So do you do that, though? Often, I mean, usually by the time I get to a physical store to look at something that I'm interested in buying, if it's there and I like it, I will buy it because I can't be bothered dealing with the, you know, unless the price difference is really dramatic, I can't be bothered dealing with the ordering something online and waiting for it to arrive factor.
Oh, if I went to the store, I'm buying it in the store.
Yeah, it's the same thing. I'm the same.
But
often
I
go to the store and look at something and then look up the reviews online and then just and then walk out with it. I've done that a few times. Flipped it around the other way.
I'm not actually sure if this is true, but I imagine that if I saw a book and I wasn't sure if I wanted it and I happened to be in a bookshop, I might buy it later online, but I wouldn't explicitly go to a bookshop to look at a book before buying it online.
No. I would look at it in the bookshop and think, that's a good book, I must buy that sometime, and then I would completely forget the book exists, which is probably what I do most of the time.
That's probably it as well.
Same happens with movies. Someone mentions some movie that I'm interested in. I must look that up. Never remember.
Reddit gives two-year-old cancer patient a non-stop pizza transfusion. Reddit is well known for its random acts of pizza, but the latest act of generosity from its community left one hospital overwhelmed with deliveries. On Saturday...
They over-pizzaed someone.
A Reddit user posted a photo of a message taped to a window of the Los Angeles Children's Hospital that asked the world to send pizza to room 4112, a plea that quickly reached the site's front page. In response, members of the Reddit community sent more than 20 boxes of pizza to the hospital, giving Hazel Hammersley, a two-year-old cancer patient, an unexpected pizza party with other children and nurses.
And hopefully no one complained about the unhealthiness of pizza.
They better not. There's a children with cancer, and so who cares? The hospital has released a statement titled "Pizza No Longer Needed in Room 4112."
That's awesome.
And I cried about this story today. I couldn't help myself. A great big, fat, warm tear rolled down my face and through my big, manly beard.
So I'm just gonna. I'm going to take a different angle. You know what annoys me, though, about stories like this? And I'm sure if you went to the Reddit comments or some news comments, some comments on a news story about this, you'd find someone saying it. And that is...
Those parents could have got a goddamn pizza instead of putting a note in the window.
Well, why are they doing that when there are worse people starving in Africa?
You can't send a pizza to a starving child in Africa. But you don't have to only do one thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the other thing is like the other angle. You know, whenever we talk about poverty in New Zealand, people come, we don't have real poverty. Not like you know, the starving children in Africa.
Honestly, I couldn't even tell you. I sometimes talk about the charity stuff that I have done on Twitter. Like if I've just given to something which I think is in desperate need of money, like when the Wellington rape crisis thing was happening, and various other times, like with what was it? There's like the Samoa tsunami. And various things like that. But usually I don't talk about this stuff. I don't give money, though, to starving Africans, generally.
There's a weird thing that people give money to the SPCA. About charity and generosity and this idea that you should only give to the most absolutely objectively, you know, deserving.
Yeah.
And, you know, if there's someone worse off, then you shouldn't give it to this person because you should either give it to someone worse off or nothing. I'm not sure. I see that sort of thing occasionally about charity and sort of, you know, random acts of kindness like this one.
Yeah.
Oh, why'd they do that? And kids living in like LA, I'm sure parents could afford to buy some pizza. I'm certain you wouldn't have to look far to find a comment about this story that says something to that effect.
Yeah. It's an absolute, it's a false dilemma, really, isn't it? Because you can't expect one person to solve every problem in the world, and people will do as much as they can and as much as they want for whatever causes they care to care for. We expect our governments also in our stead to give aid, and they do. Our governments do that. Now, could we all do more? Of course we could. Every one of us could. I don't need three computer monitors. I could sell two of them and give that money to some charity. And, you know, 5% of that would make its way to, you know, food in a warehouse somewhere, say.
I don't think you could sell two. But yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying. Like, I don't need two light bulbs in this room. I could have one light bulb and I'd still be able to see. So I should definitely have given the money that I spent on that second light bulb to charity.
Yeah,
it's not true. You know, it's a fact, but it's just not true. It's not a reasonable point, you know.
No, it's just weird that people do that anyway.
Yeah, I don't like people.
Next story.
I'm not giving money to that person, the charity for that particular person. Like the slightly brain injured fuckwits on Reddit charity, you know, whatever that's called. Auckland drivers face off-ramp toll. Or
what?
Many.
Oh my god, you're gonna get paid to get off the motorway. That would be genius.
There's a whole lot of
get on the motorway for free. Drive wherever you want, but you have to pay to get off.
It's gonna be expensive. You know, fixing our city is gonna cost a lot of money. It's gonna cost all of us a bunch. Actually, we're going to pay in a whole bunch of different ways. Our rates are definitely going to go up. Our fuel taxes are going to go up. And they've gone up this year once already, I think, and once last year as well, I think. And we're going to pay a toll, almost certainly. And we may pay some kind of congestion charge. And who knows what else? It's possible that, you know, if the council gets replaced, we might even sell some of our assets that we've worked so bloody hard to build up. All those things are possible, and hopefully we will actually get in exchange the infrastructure that we need and that we deserve and that we want. But who knows? Drivers may be told at Auckland Motorway exit ramps to ease pressure on ratepayers over a $12 billion transport funding gap, according to a high-level report that came out, I guess, actually yesterday. The report from a 17-member think tank appointed by Mayor Len Brown will give Auckland Council and the government a clear timetable for when new revenue sources will be needed to raise an extra $400 million per year for the next 30 years. That's quite a lot. That's quite a lot. The money will be for projects such as the City Rail Link and new roads, including another Waitemata Harbour crossing.
I quite like this off-ramp toll idea, actually.
Especially, it depends on what the off-ramps are, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I think the theory seems to be what? That just it's the main city off-ramps?
That's right. So if you're kind of skirting the congested area, you won't pay the toll. You know, if you're going from Manukau up to Albany, then you don't go off any of the tolled off-ramps. And so, you know, it doesn't really matter.
Just need a better way of actually managing the tolls, because the toll road thing sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It'd have to be those transponders, right? It'd have to be some kind of automated thing.
Well, the number plate recognition is fine. It's just the whole having the paying for it and the remembering to pay for it and the managing the balance. I'm not sure how you should do it instead, but
just a smarter reminder system. So, you know, you have to have a positive balance, like having a hop card or a snapper card or whatever system is still in use in Auckland. When you run out, instead of trying to ticket you immediately, they could send you a reminder. How about that for a crazy idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly.
Like madness.
Anyway, yeah, it's a good idea. Well, it's an idea. I imagine there'll be a lot of ideas.
And in related news, Len Brown has launched his re-election campaign for Auckland Mayor, and I have no idea. It seems like he's almost certainly going to win because a lot of people like him.
Candidates. John Minto's a candidate.
Yeah.
And some other people. I don't know who the others are.
Yeah. John Paulino?
Yeah.
He's got no chance. Because doesn't he basically just... Hasn't he got a kind of a... Oh, I'm not going to say what I think of his history.
Okay.
I think that he is... I'm not going to say what I think of his history because I don't actually know enough about him to speak with any degree of certainty. Like, for instance, that I believe David Bain murdered his family and framed his father, Robin Bain, who was also murdered.
Certainly.
And good news, though.
Next story.
The Vatican... Yeah, Vatican bans child abuse.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. It's 2013 and they've banned child abuse finally. Brilliant. Nice work, Pope Francis. You're really progressive. Now, how about something about the gays also being humans? That might be nice. Well, contraception would be pretty great.
Catholic tangent. I'm not sure if you've got it here, but contraception. The doctor in somewhere, Nelson? Question mark.
Oh, good. Oh my God. Yes.
Who refuses to prescribe birth control or of any sort?
I mean, I think that a person should be able to say, I can't do that because it is directly against my beliefs. And that person just should no longer be allowed to be a doctor. It's cool. You can say, I'm not going to prescribe contraception for you because I think you're a dirty fucking slut, which obviously is what he's essentially saying.
Well, I mean, he wouldn't ever put it that way, but that's certainly
But that's what it boils down to, isn't it?
The underlying concept, yeah.
Yeah. Women shouldn't be able to make these decisions for themselves.
Well, no, it's actually more than that. No one should be able to make these decisions for themselves.
That's absolutely fine for him to say that. He just can't be a doctor.
Yeah, and the thing is,
he can go and be, let's say, a reverend in a church, not in a school.
The doctor's position is to offer medical advice and make decisions based on medical training, not offer religious advice and make decisions based on religious dogma.
Yeah. No one's there asking for any kind of moral.
And people say, oh, well, they could just get another doctor. Well, that's sure. That's if they know they can do that.
Yeah.
And if they can afford to do that. And if it's even possible for them.
Yeah.
For the people. There's also been cases, I think, of doctors refusing to prescribe the emergency contraceptive pill.
Yeah.
Which is relatively time sensitive.
Yeah.
Although I believe that's available over the counter in pharmacies now.
Well, you've got like 3 days or something.
Yeah, well, the effectiveness drops off on a curve, essentially.
You can just make a stack of normal pills.
I don't think that works as well.
It works exactly as well. It's got the same contents, and there are websites which tell you how many of each kind of pill you need.
Okay, good.
Of course, it's probably...
Although they're harder to get because you definitely need a prescription for them.
Don't people who need them have them? I mean, not this woman, though, apparently.
I guess I can't
safely make that assumption anymore.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find a good link for the show notes for this story. I don't suppose you have one.
Oh, I'll find one.
Abortion Association alarmed by doctor's pill refusal. Oh, my mouse has just stopped. The battery ran out. This is going to be a really awkward story if I can't change if I can't change tabs. This is going to be very, very difficult.
Control tab changes tabs, doesn't it?
Yeah, might do. I need to get over to the right window first. I don't use the hotkeys very often anymore, you see. All right, well, I've got another set of... all right, so my mouse is working again briefly. This might go very badly wrong. So I've probably got this guy's name then.
His name is Dr. Joseph Lee. He's from the YRR Community Clinic in Blenheim.
Women have reproductive duty.
Yes, he advises people to use the rhythm method, which is insane Catholic insanity.
Hey, Joseph Lee, it's none of your fucking business what other people's so-called duty is. And you don't get to decide that. And you shouldn't be a doctor anymore.
He will
maybe
prescribe
tell you what,
the pill to people
actually,
who
you can be a doctor. You can be a doctor of divinity. You motherfucker.
Yeah, or you could be an orthopedic surgeon or anything that doesn't involve having to make prescriptions that go against or that you are unwilling to make.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously, dude. You're in the wrong profession. Maybe you could be a vet.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Of course, except vets have to, you know, like spay animals and so on, and that's, you know, sort of preventing pregnancy and so on, isn't it?
But only after they've, you know, finished their reproductive duties.
Let's change to something less controversial.
Next story.
George Zimmerman verdict. Not guilty.
Oh, good.
I have absolutely no idea.
Look, I think
I don't know if he should have been guilty or not.
We don't know enough about the specific evidence. As I understand it, the evidence, again, it's that sort of thing that we're on the face of it, ridiculous guilty, but on the face of the evidence and the prosecution's case, not as strong, but still fundamentally, he got out of his car armed, confronted a person he didn't need to confront, and the end result was someone died.
That's right.
At his hand.
Yeah.
Thanks to his firearm.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things, I've tried to make this argument to people I know who like guns, and Americans who like the idea of carrying guns. It's like, it's all well and good carrying a gun, but it means, you know, it instantly escalates any confrontation you get into hugely.
Yeah.
Because once you've got a gun, you know, then it changes the dynamic.
The worst case scenario is no longer a fight, it's a killing.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah. And you know, you can suffer a these one punch accidental killings, like accidental manslaughters that you hear about every now and then. You know, some bouncer punches someone once and they die. It's like, that is a freakish. That's a fluke.
Horrible scenario.
People get beaten up all the time. And, you know, aside from being a bit upset afterwards, it's just, you know, everyone moves on. But if you get shot, chances are really good that you're going to die because, you know, it's a device designed explicitly to tear flesh apart. And that's what you're made of. And so.
Well, it's basically for killing things. It's, you know, fundamentally for killing things. It's not
absolutely.
A lot of,
yeah, absolutely.
There's really no alternative use.
If you're a really good shot, you could probably do some very bad carpentry.
Yep. And you can actually use the butt end of a pistol as a hammer if you want to. It's probably best not to do it while the thing is loaded, though. Certainly not while it's a double-action pistol, not while it's cocked. Definitely not then.
Story.
Now, this one is right up my alley. Combination sink and urinal. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, every sink on the planet is a combination sink and urinal.
So, no, I haven't really read the story, but if I understand it, what you do is you go to the sink, which is a little bit lower than usual, and you piss on your hands. And
then exactly.
Is that?
Yeah, and then you rub them in just a pile of dirt and leaves.
So the gist is the sink, apparently people have these in their homes sometimes. The sink is above the urinal.
Yeah, the basin.
Yeah, the basin. So when you wash your hands, it collects water to flush the urinal the next time.
Yeah. So really the way to think about it, there's a picture in the show notes. Well, I mean, there's a link and then there's a picture in the show notes. Think of, you know, one of those single person urinals, not the wide ones, and then just put a basin on top of it. And that's it. And when you wash your hands, the water that flows over your hands then flows into the basin, down through a plug hole, and then down into the urinal area. It's a clever design, and I would never, ever, ever, ever put it anywhere, because some drunk bastard is going to piss all over everything. There'd be piss spray everywhere. There'd be urine on, literally on the tap.
They may already do that, though. I think that's probably a risk, just generally speaking. Drunk people.
All right. Let's say we're not in a bar. We're at the movies, okay? And so there are individual urinals along the wall. And then along,
Queen Street Theatre, where they are among the most disgusting toilets in Auckland.
Yes, we are at the Queen Street Theatre. And then on a separate wall are the basins. It's very unlikely that people won't notice a drunk bastard pissing into the basins because it's an entirely separate part of the room.
I'm surprised you're taking this stance given your general support of basin pissing.
Okay, but I don't piss on taps.
So you say.
I am absolutely certain I don't piss on taps. Well, I guarantee good. It. I absolutely guarantee it.
We should move on. This can only go worse. Okay. I've got some
next story.
I've got some IT lawsuit news.
Oh, yes.
Apple's being sued.
Is this by Samsung?
Yeah, no.
Is this by BlackBerry? Is it by Microsoft? Is it Google? Okay, it's not a patent issue. All right, it's...
It's sort of a consumer safety.
Did someone get burned while they were using one of those aluminium heatsink laptops?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, sort of. Kind of got burned. Essentially what's happened is, unfortunately, an Apple device has ruined a man's marriage.
Of course it has. It damaged his penis because it was so warm and he had it on his lap.
No. It came between him and his wife and got their relationship out of sync.
That's terrible. How? Oh, was he playing like StarCraft professionally, and he kind of lost track of the real world?
No, porn.
What?
Porn.
One more time.
Pornography. The Apple device in question wasn't preventing him from using porn and didn't warn him about the potentially relationship damaging advice or the relationship damaging effects of using porn.
Wait. So does he actually mean to be suing the internet?
No, he's suing Apple because Apple didn't stop him using porn.
Well, they stopped him using porn in apps.
Yeah, they didn't stop him using porn on the internet.
But he's an independent adult human male, is he?
The plaintiff is a victim of Apple's product that was sold to him without any warning of the damage that the pornography causes. What? But for the plaintiff's use of the Apple product, the quality of the plaintiff's life would have been much better and injury would have been avoided. The plaintiff sustained these unwarranted damages in the course of using Apple's product as designed. Apple's product was not adequately equipped with safety features that would otherwise block, that would otherwise have blocked unwarranted intrusions of pornographic content that systematically poisoned his life. It's worth noting, I think, the plaintiff in this case is a lawyer, I believe.
So it's cost him nothing to lay this frivolous lawsuit.
Well, I'm not sure. He may be employing other lawyers to help him. But yeah, it's so I think he's probably just going for some sort of payout.
Just between you and me, he definitely needs help.
Yep. I'm surprised, frankly, he could find enough time to break away from his porn and write the legal filings.
Yeah. You know, maybe during that moment of reflection post, you know, in the what's it called, the refractory period. Maybe that's when he does most of his work.
There is a little extra information, though.
Oh, good.
The lawyer in question, the plaintiff, yes, has been placed on inactive status by the Tennessee Supreme Court. He practices in Tennessee due to mental infirmity or illness.
How could they possibly have come to that decision?
What I like is that decision not only has been come to, but it is made public.
Oh, man.
Next story.
My mouse just stopped for a game for a second. Do farmers markets...
Have you tried spinning the battery around? You know, you twist it around sometimes.
I swapped to another set, but the bad news is, before we started, I swapped to the set that stopped a minute ago, thinking that they were fresh, and so now I've got 4 batteries, and none of them are good, and so I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble.
Dear God.
So people go to farmers markets because they want, you know, fresh local produce.
It's worth noting this is America, and America has a very different food culture than we do.
Yeah. This is Pennsylvania specifically. Poultry sold at farmers markets in Pennsylvania tend to have, and this is what is so contrary to most people's expectation when they're going to a farmers market, it's hoping for fresh, clean, local food, hopefully non-industrially farmed, higher levels of bacteria than store-bought birds. So researchers, of 100 raw whole chickens purchased from farmers markets throughout the state, 90% tested positive for Campylobacter, and 28% harbored salmonella.
That doesn't seem surprising.
Well, by comparison, during the same period, 20% of raw whole organic chickens from grocery stores were found to contain Campylobacter. That's 20% versus 90%. But pretty much the same number tested positive for salmonella in both places. But, I mean, the reality is, I mean, is that an issue? I mean, just cook it right. Just cook it.
Yeah, that's the main thing, is cook it right. Although, there, you know, if you cook it right and be careful about your contamination, cross-contamination. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, obviously store-bought chickens have been processed in much stricter situations than you're likely to get. I don't think you could buy, well, in fact, I'm certain you can't buy chicken at farmers markets in New Zealand. I don't think it's possible to. Because you know, if you have home kill, if you're a small farmer who's selling his own meat at a farmer's market, you'd have to have that meat would have to have been butchered by a certified butcher. And I don't think that works for chicken. I think that's only for like beef and lamb and pork.
Yeah,
I don't think you get chicken that way.
Yeah. So the reason that the store bought ones have lower bacterial loads is that they actually get washed in antibacterial solutions.
Good.
Which is lovely, isn't it?
I don't know.
So let me tell you about something awesome instead.
Okay. Next story.
This is the best opening paragraph on Wikipedia.
This is objectively speaking.
Objectively speaking. It was selected by a computer, probably.
Probably.
As far as I know. Lieutenant General Sir Adrian Paul Gisland Carton de Weert, VC, KBE, CBCMG, DSO, 5 May 1880 to 5 June 1963. That's when he was born and died, was a British Army officer of Belgian and Irish descent. He served in the Boer War, First World War, and Second World War, was shot in the face, head, stomach, ankle, leg, hip, and ear, survived a plane crash, tunneled out of a POW camp, and bit off his own fingers when a doctor refused to amputate them. He later said, "Frankly, I had enjoyed the war." That's the opening paragraph to his article.
Good.
On Wikipedia. What a hardcore mother. Wow.
Hopefully now that he's come to light, he may be immortalized as a fictionalized version of himself in some bizarre film, perhaps directed by Quentin Tarantino. Who knows?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's possible, but I don't really want Quentin Tarantino touching any of the Victoria Cross because I happen to hold that in. Even though many of those people got them for like blowing other people, you know, rending people limb from limb and a bunch of murder, I still hold those people in quite high regard because you know, many of them many of the wars,
good people, blah blah blah.
Yeah, many of the wars that people won VCs for were not wars that those people's countries started, right? The Brits they didn't start World War II.
Couldn't they have just left poor old Hitler alone?
Mm. I suppose they could have left him alone, but he wouldn't have left them alone.
Auntie,
what's your auntie been talking about? Sending you on VHS?
My auntie was visiting... Actually, no. I was visiting Ben Gracewood's auntie.
Benedict Gracewood.
I was at Ben Gracewood's house watching his telly. He's using iPlayer on his WDTV Live or something along those lines.
It's BBC iPlayer. Yep.
And we stumbled upon a show I'd never heard of before called Horrible Histories.
Oh, yeah.
Which it turns out kids know about because there's a series of books called Horrible Histories, which are a sort of a light-hearted but factual telling of historical stuff.
Yeah.
So there's like six series of this from BBC, which is essentially kind of like a sketch show, but based on historical things. It's fantastic. It's really good. If you have kids sort of probably like 8 to 12, they will probably really enjoy it, or 8 plus, I guess, would probably really enjoy it. And frankly, there's quite a lot of good stuff in there for adults too.
7.7 out of 10 on IMDb, which is pretty good.
I can't express quite enough how amazingly awesome a lot of it is.
Right.
Like, I've learned a lot
about
all sorts of Greek and English and European and all sorts of different history, and frequently entertained by the very, very clever writing and acting and staging. A lot of it feels very Monty Python-y.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, hard to explain, but if you have children in that age group who are even vaguely interested in learning stuff, they'll probably enjoy it. And if you otherwise are interested, you should check it out anyway, because there's lots of YouTube clips if you want to go and look at them that way.
Another thing that your auntie's been talking about, but I can't push the button because the mouse stopped again.
Absolutely.
is Sharknado, which the internet wet its pants about yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, it was late last week, wasn't it? Like Friday?
Oh, whenever it was. I saw the trailer, but after seeing... I guess I saw the kind of the gravy shot with Ian Ziering jumping through a shark with a chainsaw, and I imagine that's pretty much how the movie ends. So I didn't really need to watch it.
Yeah, I think the movie ends throwing bombs into a tornado.
Oh, okay.
A Sharknado. I'm not sure. I have received the VHS from my auntie.
Yeah.
I haven't got around to watching it yet. I'm not sure when I'm going to find the right time for this.
Right. I thought that you had already watched it. Something that none of us is going to find time for, I hope, is the Ender's Game movie, which there's been a bit of a hue and cry and a call for a boycott because, of course, Orson Scott Card is a fuckbag. And he wrote it and will make a bunch of money, presumably, out of it if it's successful. Now, this whole thing's a bit sad to me because... In the distant past, I have actually enjoyed reading Ender's Game before I knew anything about Orson Scott Card. Once I found out about Orson Scott Card's horrible, homophobic, you know, viciously homophobic, and to the point of, you know, pumping millions of dollars into like anti-gay marriage organizations and so on. So he hasn't just said, you know, in interviews, oh, I'm not a fan of the gays. He has really gone out of his way and spent a lot of money to, you know, let's say oppress the gays.
Yeah, he's not quite proposing killing them, but he really doesn't like them.
Yeah.
And I think he's said that some of the beyond just gay marriage, like some of the decriminalization of some things is wrong, was wrong.
Yeah, I think he's a complete toad, and I propose that for those of us who actually want to see the movie, what we do is go to discourse.co.nz/VPN and sign up. It's surprisingly inexpensive when the time comes, And that's all I'm going to say on that matter. This is a movie I'm definitely not going to see in theatres. And fuck this guy. And I'm really sorry to the filmmakers and everyone who made this movie. But unfortunately, it has been tainted in my view. And I don't want to give that motherfucker any money.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for them. But yeah, exactly. I mean, you know,
I want people to know that there are consequences.
Well, and it's been quite apparent. I think he's even, you know, he's clearly aware of what's happening.
Too late.
But yeah, you know, he's not apologizing for anything he's saying. Nope. He's just saying you shouldn't boycott the movie because it's not just me.
Yep, that's right. He's not. Next story. Has my mouse just stopped again? Yep, awesome. Okay, so this is the next story then, and I can't push the button because the button's all the way over there, and I've got no idea how to make that the soundboard app do stuff with the keyboard. So, you know, whatever. I wonder if it's a numbers. No. A scientist's quest for perfect broccoli. For all the wonders of fresh broccoli, in most parts of the country, it's only available from local growers probably covered in bacteria, during the cooler weeks at either end of the growing season, nowhere near long enough to become a fixture in grocery stores or kitchens. But now, Michael Moss writes in the New York Times that Thomas Bjorkman is out to change all that by creating a new version of the plant that can thrive in hot, steamy summers, like those in, you know, more places. And it's and makes it easy and inexpensive enough to grow in large volumes, because he really wants, you know, lots of this lovely crisp sweet broccoli.
I quite like broccoli.
That's what he wants. Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan.
Okay, so I fed my, don't judge me, but I fed my children for dinner tonight pies and broccoli and carrots. That was their dinner.
Sounds good. What kind of pies?
That's the problem. They were little party pies, little 4 and 20
pastries, little
pies,
pastries.
But they're Australian pies. Anyway, doesn't matter.
That's all right. Doesn't matter.
But the strangest thing, middle child.
Yeah. Only ate broccoli.
Mr. Four. No, the first thing he took off his plate was broccoli.
Yeah.
He ate that. He ate all his broccoli.
And then
he
the
ate
carrots.
Most of his carrot, and he left some of his pie behind.
Wow.
Strangest thing. Anyway, others
are you sure his father's a New Zealander?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
So how's he doing this? Horrible genetic engineering or...
Probably.
Or natural.
He's also increased some kind of toxic compound that is in broccoli, which sounds like a bad idea, but apparently the theory behind that is that toxic compound stimulates our immune system and helps to prevent cancer and heart disease.
Good.
I'm not going to click through to the article because I have no mouse.
I have no ability to click. Broccoli's great. Did you know the FBI director nominee called whistleblowers a critical element of functioning democracy?
I did know that, and I'm really excited to hear it from him, but I don't think he's been confirmed yet. And once he is confirmed, just like Barack Obama, turned out to be a fucking Trojan horse and worse in many ways than George W. Goddamn Bush, this guy will change his mind and he'll decide that whistleblowers more like terrorists. Am I right? That's the kind of U-turn he'll probably make on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I still think Snowden is behaving like a fucking dickbag in many respects. Essentially, the most recent thing, well, it wasn't Snowden specifically, it was Glenn Greenwald on Snowden's behalf, essentially kind of saying that the US should count themselves lucky that Snowden hasn't just dumped a whole massive pile of documents into the world that could destroy the US's intelligence gathering abilities.
Yeah.
It's like, Snowden has gone beyond whistleblowing and into some sort of anti-intelligence vigilante mode.
I'm in favor of that.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, in some respects, but it seems blunt and anyway, it's not quite what it was originally.
Would you say that intelligence was precise, or
what's
is the exact problem with that intelligence gathering?
No,
it's too broad.
His attack on it is very blunt.
I know exactly. That's my point. Would you say that the intelligence gathering itself was precise, or would you say that it was a bit blunt as well?
No, I wouldn't, and that is a problem.
Yeah. So whistleblowers, I agree with what this guy still apparently believes and will no longer believe as soon as he's confirmed, that we need to have whistleblowers. Whistleblowers, they should try and solve whatever the problem is using the normal internal system that, you know, whatever organization you're in, they're presumably, you know, you try and run it up the chain of command that there's a problem and you try and fix it. And if no one fixes it or tries to hide it, then you've got to do something else.
There's you a know, there's then a you've fundamental got to go to the press or whatever. In every organization or business or whatever, you have to be willing to be open to hearing about problems.
Yeah.
And businesses and organizations that aren't open to that, and this is, you know, this comes out a lot with like IT security as well. You know, for example, people reporting to the MSD on issues that they've discovered and being labeled hackers and potential criminals.
Yeah.
The people who reacting like that is a pretty good sign that there's actually a whole cultural issue,
yeah,
whole cultural problem underlying the thing. So, I mean, I'm not sure that anyone, I'm not sure what the better reaction to Snowden's allegations would have been, because I still think the way he's approached it is he's been deliberately vague, and I think either he or Glenn Greenwald have been quite misleading in many cases. So I'm not sure what the, you know, but you're tackling such a kind of necessarily, but regardless of necessity, a very opaque institution. There's not like an easy way to react, I guess.
Who do you think's being more misleading?
Who? I don't know, but Greenwald has. The NSA is not being specifically misleading because they're generally not saying anything.
Yeah.
But a lot of what Greenwald is saying, and I think a lot of what Snowden said initially, has not turned out to be what it was claimed. Maybe, you know, certainly there's big issues that have been exposed, but I don't think the issue, I don't think the way they phrased it initially is accurate, and I think they knew that. But of course we can't know.
Maybe not. We'll see. Next story, I can't push the button. Whistleblowing IT director fired by Florida state attorney, and just the latest of a long chain of similar stories. Often people like sysadmins and so on who get fired for these things. Sometimes they get threatened with jail. Sometimes they probably even get put in jail. Ben Credboss, the IT director of the Florida state attorney's office, who had spoken up when important cell phone evidence he'd extracted from Trayvon Martin's cell phone, which is just strikes me as weird, was withheld by the state from the defense, was fired by Messenger at 7:30 p.m. Friday after closing arguments in the Zimmerman case. He was told that he could not be trusted to set foot in his office and that he was being fired for incompetence. And of course, naturally, the response to that was that he'd received a merit pay raise earlier this year, of course. The firing letter also blames him for consulting a lawyer, and saying that the implication being that if you try to protect yourself, we will hit you harder.
Yeah, that's a big problem. It's the same as the issue with, you know, not incriminating yourself. Choosing to be silent is often seen as a sign of guilt.
Yeah.
Not wanting people to read your emails, you know, if you've got nothing to hide.
Teapot tapes.
Yeah, all that stuff. It's unfortunate. I mean, you know, you kind of can't help it, and you can't help sort of making those assumptions, but they are not fair and they are not accurate.
Lots of people have things that they don't necessarily want everyone in the world to know about. Some people have sex parties that they probably don't want their office to know about. You know, that doesn't mean they're doing anything illegal.
No, exactly. And yeah. And also they shouldn't necessarily be compelled to talk about that. But anyway, it's that thing, though, from an outside perspective, as soon as you hear that someone's refusing to answer questions on an issue, you're like, well, obviously they're hiding something.
But well, that is usually the assumption, and I think it's probably because usually it's true. But when someone's refusing to answer questions, that means that person is being explicitly asked questions. The problem with this NSA thing is that no one is being explicitly anything. Everyone is having every question asked of them, and they don't even know they're being asked. Their shit is just being gone through, right? There is nothing explicit.
No, that's a different thing. But yes, 1 minute, it's almost over.
Yeah, I can't.
What else do you want to sneak in here?
I can't get to any more buttons. Burger Fuel has opened in United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi, which is cool. Good for you, Burger Fuel.
They've been in that part of the world for a while, haven't they?
Yeah, somewhere else, Saudi Arabia or somewhere.
Yeah, that sounds right. It's in Dubai and Iraq. There you go.
What? They're in Iraq. Oh my God, they are too.
Greenfield's already in Dubai.
And they're planning on making a move into Libya.
Yeah.
Libyans got a lib.
Good, good. I'm glad that that the Middle East is enjoying hamburgers. I've gone off
Five.
Burger Fuel the last few times I've had it. Found it dry and not
Four.
Not as good as I remember.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah. Nine.
My dinner last night Two. Was Pizza Hut and KFC in one meal, and it was so good. One. It was the best KFC I've had in ages. Oh, it was delicious.
The weekly show
Sometimes
on,
being sick has benefits. See you next week. Thank you.
Oh, what's good?
All right, we're using that one.
So when you were talking earlier about how you felt maybe a little bit, you know, you didn't want to be judged for giving your kids pies for dinner, I was thinking, man, the dinner I would have given my hypothetical children last night, if they had existed, would have made some people puke. But it was that, there was that KFC. You know, every now and then you get that KFC where it's like crispy and just lovely. It doesn't have any of that kind of weird slimy wrongness that
oh, so it's not when you not that one where you bite into it and just the grease drips on your chin and burns you, not that
none
one
of that, none of that. It was so good. It was the best KFC I've had in ages, and maybe part of that was just, you know, I'm sick. And
I had their crispy only KFC I've had at all recently was the day they came out with their $1, $2, $3 menu. I went and got a couple of potato and gravies, which were like $1 each. Yeah. And I think they got like a I think it's like a single crispy strip for $1. So yeah. I think I spent like $4, two potatoes and gravy and two crispy strips.
That's a weird order, man.
For me and Melanie, we had, you know, we halved it. And the crispy strip was
Did you lady in the tramp the crispy strip? Did you start at one end each and meet in the middle with a big greasy kiss?
Yeah, exactly like that. Yeah, it was very
And now you've been reminded of that time that our old flatmate, who will remain nameless, hand-fed Kentucky Fried Chicken to some fat girl on our couch. Which you'd probably forgotten about until now.
Oh God, I'm not even sure I actually witnessed it. I think I may have just heard about it afterwards.
Holy shit. It's not romantic, is it?
Oh wow. Man. Finger looking good. After, I mean, did she lick his fingers? She probably did.
Probably did.
Oh, and then he probably took her downstairs and rolled the foreplay dice.
He had those awful ties. He was a good dude. I hope things are well for him.
Oh, what's that?
He was a good dude, and I hope things are well for him.
Oh no, they're good. He's doing really well, apparently.
Yeah.
Oh.
I can't. I don't know if I can reach the button that does the fish and chips. Florida bans computers.
Oh yeah, this was awesome. First of all, okay, there's a few things going on with this. I can't find the story. Where the hell's the story?
Florida, it's the second to last in my tab list. Florida tried to ban internet cafes that were functioning as unlicensed casinos, but may have banned smartphones and computers instead due to language that defines slot machines as, quote, any machine or device or system or network of devices.
Yeah,
that can be used in connection with games of chance.
So, but they, like, they basically... First of all, they were not phased about the fact that the law would shut down all internet cafes in the state of Florida. That was intentional.
Yeah.
But the fact that it kind of outlawed computers at the same time was not intentional. But they shut down all internet cafes in the state of Florida.
Do you think that was about getting rid of people's potential anonymous access to internet connections, and that actually was an intelligence thing?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
It's not even possible.
No.
You just take it at face value?
Yeah, I do. In this case, yes, I do.
Do you think it's safe?
Yeah.
All right, we'll see. Okay. Report. Microsoft working closely with NSA. Easier access given to Hotmail, SkyDrive, and Skype.
So I had a big problem with the reporting of this. Right, it made all the mainstream news, and the gist of the articles was essentially Microsoft helping NSA spy on people, which...
It's not their job.
Well, no, but that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is complying with the law that requires them to provide the information on receipt of various legal warrants and interception orders.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because, you know, some of these companies actually have fought the legality of these requests. You know, Microsoft is a big company and they can afford a lot of lawyers.
Well, I don't think any of them have, actually.
They
I think
fucking
some
have
of them
Twitter
have fought specific orders.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not
They've pushed back against the legality of some orders.
Who? Which one? Name? Like, Google does this, Microsoft
does this.
Well,
we're not allowed to know the details of the cases.
You know, they may or may not do it for some cases, but essentially the gist here is that Microsoft provides encrypted storage and encrypted in and out of their thing, but they hold the encryption keys, which means essentially they're required to hand over the data. They can't claim that they can't get it. So, you know, the issue here is not Microsoft's behavior, because were they not to do it, then I don't know what the response would be. Maybe, you know, maybe it would all come out, but who the hell knows? But essentially the issue here, like, people raging against Microsoft and Google and all these people, the issue is not their behavior. The issue is the law under which they're behaving. And if you want to change things, you can't just yell at Microsoft and Google. You need to actually address the laws. And the law is in the US, it's the Foreign Interception Surveillance Act.
Well, it's not necessarily yelling at Microsoft to be disappointed that Microsoft
Microsoft, but, you know, they're blaming Microsoft and they're calling Microsoft, you know, whatever they're calling them. They're the wrong target.
They are exactly the right target. They were the ones that knew the soonest that they were getting these requests.
But of course they're going
to. Just found out.
No, we haven't. We've known that these requests have happened forever. What we only just found out was that they were that the NSA had direct access into these servers and could get anything they wanted without a warrant or any court order at all, which it turns out actually probably isn't true. That's what we found out. The big storm that was kicked up about the NSA was kicked up essentially by either an exaggeration or a lie, which was that direct access claim, which was the big headline in the Washington Post and the Guardian's initial stories on the issue.
Yeah, Snowden has said some really weird shit.
Yeah, so they've backed off that stuff, and so now we're keeping a look on, you know, the plus side of that initial claim was it got massive attention and it focused our attention on what the fuck the NSA and FBI and whomever else is actually doing, kind of, as much as we can find out. But, you know, we always knew that there were secret intelligence orders and that information was being gathered by these organizations. Like, nothing has changed. Like, our level of knowledge really hasn't changed, except we now know some terminology and we have a little bit of understanding about the actual mechanics of that process.
Yeah.
But I don't think we know more than we did before about what was happening. All that's happened is we've vilified specific companies for being involved and suggested that they are, you know, bending over backwards to please the NSA, which I don't think they probably are, but I also think that, you know, they're big companies who are risk averse and they're not about to start a secret legal fight with the federal government.
Except that we know that some of them have.
Well, some of them have certainly taken, you know, have contested some warrants of some sort, but it's hard to say what.
It is hard to say what, because we don't get the details.
No,
but it's very hard to say what. But that doesn't mean that there's nothing to worry about, just because we only have
not
a quarter of the story.
I'm saying that what is to worry about is the law that makes this possible, not the people complying with the law.
Except that we also know that these agencies act outside the law, because we know that our own GCSB explicitly broke really simple and clearly worded requirements.
Yes, actually, there was an interesting thing about that, though. So I think it was at NetHui, the former...
Who said that Ian the Fisher? Agents were being seconded out, right?
Yeah, so if that's
Which
the case...
Which is kind of weird.
If that's accurate, then what the hell did the GCSB? Because... I just don't understand. Like, maybe, you know, maybe that is the intention. Maybe that kind of is the intention of the GCSB legislation that has also overreached dramatically. But to kind of clarify that situation, because maybe, you know, while they were seconded out, it was still considered the GCSB doing work, even if it was just human users who understand technology using facilities of another agency that was legally allowed to carry out the work. It's, you know, and that's the thing, we don't know. Again, it's that thing of secrecy, is we don't really know what was happening there. So maybe it actually, and it's that thing, maybe it wasn't actually as nefarious as it originally sounded.
It depends if you buy the line or not.
Well, I don't know.
Of course, they won't tell us the real details. I mean, who's to say
that they said,
oh, yes, he's seconded to you, but he continued working at his desk using GCSB resources and his GCSB team. You know, we don't know the other details.
Fletcher's statement or speech or whatever was that they physically went to the other agency's office and worked on the other agency's equipment. And if that's the case, then I'm not sure. I'm not really sure I see the benefit in him coming out and lying about that.
I don't trust anything any of them are saying at the moment.
No, sure, and that's the problem. It's completely opaque, and maybe there is a really good argument for clarifying the law around those issues.
The law is pretty clear.
Well, no, unfortunately, the law is clear that the SIS are allowed to do it, and the police are allowed to do it, and the GCSB aren't.
Yeah.
But there is the argument.
So here's the way companies get skills that they don't have. They hire someone.
That's the thing. There is a finite, I don't know what sort of skills they're looking for, but there's a fairly finite amount, a fairly finite resource available, and I imagine a pretty small budget in real terms. I don't have a problem with.
Yeah, it's only like $30 million or something, right?
I don't have a problem with sharing.
It's like 1.5 TV channels.
Yeah, it's 1.5 TV channels. It's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. I think there's benefit in clarifying the way the GCSB operates with our agencies. I don't think the GCSB bill actually does that.
No. I think now the difficulty that we have talking about this is that we don't know a lot of the details. And so that, I think, points out the biggest issue, which is the lack of oversight.
And we may never.
And I don't even necessarily expect to directly know the details of all these cases. In fact, in an ideal world, it really would never be appropriate for me to know, because they really would only be investigating, genuine, scary threats, right?
And it's funny, isn't it? Because maybe they are, but we just won't believe it if they tell us that.
I don't believe it, because we know that they fucking investigated Kim.com, who was not a threat.
No, even...
the few things that we do know just make them look like a bunch of fucking weird, thuggish, big-nosed bullies,
Which is always the risk of people without accountability and some sense of power.
Yeah, exactly. And it's that accountability and oversight, which I think is the problem. And it was the thing that John Key refused to even acknowledge, but the story hasn't gone away. It's not just people who are politically opposed to his party that are disagreeing with him. And so hopefully, once the Privacy Commissioner said, hey, hang on, actually.
Yeah, but he'll probably just threaten to defund the Privacy Commissioner.
What, again?
No, it didn't. Wasn't that was the Human Rights Commission.
Oh, right. Yeah, anyway, so that happened as well. So John Key looks like a fucking toad. I think maybe that's something that we can agree with about this whole thing. John Key looks like a fuckwit.
Yeah, I mean... As I've said many times on the show, my issue with John Key, notwithstanding his politics, I could I don't really agree with his politics, but at the same time, I find him as a smarmy, insincere, condescending git to be the biggest issue with my current, he's my biggest problem with the government.
Yeah.
And that's saying a lot, because I don't like a lot of what they do.
Yeah.
But I find him the biggest problem.
All right, well, while my mouse is working, very briefly.
Go, quick, click on something. Oh, that
fish
ad.
Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled.
Beep. Kind of wasn't really at an appropriate time to end the show, but my mouse is going to stop working and then I won't be able to turn off the stream because some of these apps don't actually work with the keyboard. The sound, I haven't turned off. That's not really the end of the show, but now I've pushed the button and so we can just end it anytime, I guess.
God, everyone's going to be so confused.
Well, I mean, I had to take my opportunity while it was there. My mouse is still working, but I don't expect it to keep going for very long. These batteries, of course, I can recharge them, but that won't be fast enough, will it?
Oh, it's a hard life. Oh, well. That's another discourse.
Intelligent stuff just, it makes me really sad. Because...
It's a subject...
It's so abusive. And it's so.
It's a subject that we can't ever really talk about in an informed and dispassionate way.
Well,
because
it depends on what you mean by informed. I mean, we can have a starting point about privacy.
We can know.
We
more.
Can have a starting I guess
we can,
point about
we can know more, but
what various human rights organizations say about privacy and freedom to not be interfered with by a government, and we can. We can agree on what that should mean without necessarily knowing exactly what those organizations are doing. And so we can say, if you are doing this, you have to stop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In that position, we can take. But I think even the problem is at that point, you know, there's been these situations before where we say that, and then we find out later that they didn't quite stop, or they did stop doing exactly what we told them to, but they started doing something that was almost exactly the same, but they classified in a different way. Kind of like NSA and FISA, where sure, they, you know, maybe, you know, well, they just basically created a new court and a new law so they could do whatever they want without breaking the law.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I don't know. I think fundamentally it's a very opaque area of government.
Yeah.
And kind of, it's one of those things that I sort of understand that we as the public can't necessarily know what's really going on, but I would really feel a lot more comfortable if it wasn't just one person who did.
And who clearly doesn't give a shit.
If there was some, if I could be confident that some actual adults were all kind of privy to what was happening, and that at least some of those adults seemed like trustworthy human beings.
Yeah, who had actual principles.
Who had actual principles and had some reasonable way of standing up for them without, you know, losing their jobs or compromising what legitimate things the agencies were doing, that would be okay. I could live with that.
Yep, agreed. On that, we agree. Okay, I'm going to play it for real now. Thank you for everybody, and you know, this is the overflow. You should have stopped listening ages ago if you didn't want to hear me being you know, sad about GCSE.
I know, I stopped listening.
SIS. Yeah, I never even started listening. Oh, this week's drink is I can't even remember. It's a Shandy. It's the same one. It's a normal one. It's
I was going to make myself a Cuba Libre, but I forgot.
Rum and Coke. It's a great name for it, isn't it?
Lime.
Does it have to have that to be?
It has to have that, otherwise it's just rum and Coke.
Right. Well, and if it has that lime, suddenly it's a real highbrow drink. I love a good rum and Coke, I tell you what.
I'm pretty sure it has to be a dark rum. I don't think you can do it with white rum.
I don't think you should.
I'm just making shit up now. I don't really know. Let's go.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. Sorry, this show is cancelled. Beep.